In your Bibles to our reading, Philippians 1. My text this morning is verses 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. The church's true need today, and indeed every day, is and has always been to become like Christ Jesus, the head of the church. When the wife of missionary Adoniram Judson told him that a newspaper article likened him to some of the apostles, Judson replied, "I don't want to be like a Paul or any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only, copy his teachings, drink in his spirit, and place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be more like Christ." That should be our desire. That should be our prayerful desire. We should regularly be praying to God, "Please keep my eyes focused on the only target worth hitting, so to speak, Christ likeness." The author and theologian Jim Packer asserted this point when he said, "The fruit of wisdom is Christ-likeness, peace, humility and love. And the root of it is in faith in Christ as the manifested wisdom of God." The Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to his Christian friends in Philippi. He wrote it from his house arrest when he was in Rome. And this is described at the end of Acts. He was waiting for his court appearance. It's around the year AD 61. And the church in Philippi was close to Paul's heart. Paul founded this church some 11 years before he wrote this letter. And this was done on his second missionary journey, Acts 16, 11 to 40. Now, Paul started the letter with a familiar greeting. Grace and peace, recognizing that these came only from God our Father through the Son. Verses 3 to 6, Paul gives thanks for the Christians in Philippi. He says, "I thank my God in all remembrance of you." You see, when Paul remembered all the Philippians, that all that they'd done for him, he of course was thankful. We are thankful for people when they come and help us. So he was gratefully thankful to the Philippians. But more so, he was thankful to God, who had worked such kindness through these people in Philippi. He was so thankful to God. He goes on in verse 3, "Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all." And of course, we should ask ourselves, well, what do you think the content of Paul's prayer was for these people that he loved so much, that he thanked God for them? Well, we know it would have been a sincere prayer of affection. For verses 7 to 8 declares Paul's fondness for them. "I have you in my heart," he says. This is real affection for these people. Paul was a man of, well, towering intellect. But he was also a man of great heart. And these Christians in Philippi, they were in his heart. They were on his heart. He loved them deeply. He could even call God as his witness regarding his deep affection for them. We read there, don't we? "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So what was his prayer? Well, of course, we don't have to ponder too long about what the content of Paul's prayer was for the Philippians. The answer is given to us in our text. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. The first part of this prayer should come as actually no surprise at all to any Christian. Paul wants their love to abound, to grow, develop. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. Now, these Christians in Philippi, they had a lot of love. They displayed a lot of love to Paul. Yet Paul didn't hesitate for a moment to pray that their love would grow. He already knew they had a lot of love, and he said, let that love abound even more. You know, there is a phrase that says, to know him is to love him. The reason why Jesus said, learn of me, is that he wants you to know, he wants his people to know how much he loves them. Learn of him. Learn of how much he loves you. Because Jesus knows the more you know him, the more you will know how much he loves you. And the more you know how much he loves you, surely your response will be to love him more and more in return. So that you might abound more and more in the love of Christ as you gain the knowledge of his love. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful challenge that is for us this morning. To abound in our love for him. To know Jesus more and then to love him more. Now, of course, we've heard this before. Christ commanded that we love the Lord our God and that we love our neighbour as ourselves in Luke 10. Doesn't matter how much love for others that we have. And I know some people can really have that heartfelt love and can show it. Some can have that love but find it difficult to show. Some of us are struggling with love. No matter how much you have of this wonderful Christian love, Paul says, let it abound more, more and more. We should not be surprised to read that Paul prayed for the Philippians' ability to love. But then we come to the second part of the prayer. Paul doesn't pray for just any old love, any kind of love. This isn't simply hand-holding, fluffy, pink, stars-in-their-eyes sentimental love. This is love overflowing with, Scripture tells us, knowledge and discernment. Knowledge and discernment. The love Paul wanted the Philippians to abound in was love that had knowledge and all discernment. It was love that could approve the things that are excellent. You see, it is not and never will be blind love that draws us nearer to God. But it is a love grounded upon knowledge and judgment. We must love God because of his infinite excellence and loveliness. We must love our brethren. Why? Because we must see the image of God in them. We must see the image of God in each of us. Strong passions without knowledge, without a settled judgment, will not make us complete in the will of God. Sometimes it will do more damage, more hurt than good. You see, most of you know, the Jews had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That transported them to violence. To rage, Romans 10:2 and John 16:2. Paul knew very well the dangers of undiscerning love. He rebuked the Corinthian church that seemed to glory in their love and their openness, which lacked any sense of knowledge or discernment. Friends, Paul is telling us something really important here. True godly love must always be accompanied by a true godly knowledge. You know, it somewhat staggers me that in Christian circles you can still hear people today say, I don't care about theology. I don't care about teaching or doctrine. I just want to love Jesus. You might have heard that yourself by some. My question for such a person is, well, how can you love Jesus? How can you love Jesus unless you first know him? You can't know him. Do you know Jesus? That is the point. Friends sitting here this morning, do you know Jesus? Not the Jesus of your imagination, the Jesus of Scripture. Do you know Jesus? Even Jesus himself, when he gave the command to love the Lord your God, said that we are to do that with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. This flies in the face of so much, you know, namby-pamby, hold up hands in the air and love everybody. Oh, this is not what it should be. We must ask ourselves, do we know Jesus Christ of Scripture? Paul's prayer for the Philippians and my prayer for all of us here this morning is that we might grow in both our love and our knowledge of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Friends, this is what makes Sunday services so important. This is how to start the week off correctly. This is what makes daily Bible reading so important. This is what makes our Bible studies, our prayer meetings so important. When it comes to our relationship with Christ, the old cliche does not prove true. Absence does not make the heart grow fonder. The more we know of our Saviour, the more we know of the blessed Jesus Christ of Scripture, the more we will love him. The more we will draw closer to him. The reformer John Calvin wrote, the greater proficiency we make in knowledge, the more our love will increase. And why does Paul want us to grow in our knowledge and love? Well, he gives us the answer in verses 10 and 11. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere, without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Why? To the glory and praise of God. You may be sincere without offence. Sincerity is our gospel perfection. That in which we should have our conversation in the world and which is the glory of all our graces. Dear old Matthew Henry put it like this. When the eye is single, when we are inward with God in what we do, are really what we appear to be and mean honestly, then we are sincere. We don't live in a world of sincerity, far from it. We've got an election coming up. How much sincerity do you think you will hear from many of the politicians? That they might be an inoffensive people. We need to be inoffensive people in this earth. That you may be without offence until the day of Christ. Not apt to take offence. And very careful not to give offence to God. Or the brethren. To live in all good conscience before God. Acts 23:1 tells us that. To exercise ourselves. To have always a conscience void of offence towards God. That's another challenge. A conscience void of offence towards God and to other Christians. We should want, we should pray that God makes us both sincere and without offence. And when? How long has he got to keep us like this? Till the day of Christ. And till the day of Christ, that means these things become increasingly more evident in our lives until Jesus comes. Is that happening? Remember that Jesus will present the church. How will he present the church? Without spot, without wrinkle, Ephesians 5:27. He will present believers faultless. Can you believe it? You are going to be presented one day faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How close? How are we getting on with that? We should be moving toward that goal. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. The work of becoming sincere without offense is really God's work within us. It happens as we are filled with the fruits of righteousness. Being fruitful is always the result of abiding in Jesus Christ. If you're not abiding in Jesus Christ, if you're not growing in love and growing closer to him, how can you expect to be fruitful? It's all of God. John 15:4-6. Jesus tells us, doesn't he? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. This is how crucial this is, friends. Are we growing closer to Christ? Are we becoming more Christ-like? You see, as we abide in him, we receive the life. We receive, if you like, the nutrients that we need to naturally bear fruit, not to our glory, but to God's praise and glory. Paul is saying, I want you to grow in love. I want you to grow in knowledge, so that in the day of Christ, you might become like Christ. Ultimately, Paul's fundamental prayer for the Philippians is that they become Christ-like. That should be our prayer. Christ-like. And in becoming Christ-like, whose glory is it to? It is to the glory of God. So as you become more Christ-like, you are glorifying God. You see, everything Paul prays for leads to this end, to the glory and praise of God. Paul wants the Philippians' love to abound. He wants their knowledge and discernment to abound so they become more and more Christ-like. Maybe that's our challenge as we go into this week. Every day, more Christ-like. What a challenge that is. You might have a good day on a Sunday. Oh, I'm pretty Christ-like today. Get in the world on Monday. See how you fare. And then even if you're successful, you'll never be completely successful, but if you think, I done reasonably well on Monday, comes Tuesday. I know for my own self that Sunday is the pinnacle almost. And it always appears to me that spiritually I start to drift. Downward, not upwards. Now I know it's nice to be physically healthy. It's nice to have a certain financial stability. Oh, I know these are good things. It's nice to have good, solid friendships. But Paul, you see, is pointing to us something far, far greater here. What we really need above all these things is to grow in our Christ-likeness. Hence, Paul's prayers are focused on this. And just so you don't think that Paul's prayer for the Philippians is a one-off or some unique thing to them because they're his closest friends. No. I draw your attention to his letter to the Colossians. After telling them in chapter 1, verse 3, that he is praying always for them, Paul reveals the content of his prayers in verses 9 and 10 there, where he says this, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul knew very well that we cannot love God correctly unless we know him. It's a fact. It's a fact. The Bible makes it clear from Genesis to Revelation that God desires to be loved, to be worshipped, but in a certain and particular way. Paul understood that we cannot simply walk in a manner worthy of the Lord without first knowing what manner of walking God expects of us. It's common sense, this is, friends. Many false man-made religions today think that they walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And what do we see? Well, we saw something of it in Manchester, leading to outrageous blasphemy, outrageous acts of killing in the name of God. Can you believe it? Yes, they are walking in a manner worthy of their own God, the devil. They are blinded. We need to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, but we need to know in what manner the Lord expects that. It comes from here, the Bible. You see, even as Christians, we are not always sure about how we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Ask a Christian whether they strive to love God more, and you will hopefully get the answer yes. Ask a Christian whether they are trying to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and you will probably get the answer, yes, maybe, I'm trying, or the proviso, as best I can. But if you ask a Christian how much time they spend reading the Bible, or how long do they spend in prayer or in fellowship with God, I wonder what kind of answer you would get. But here's the thing, friends. What kind of answer would we give? What is our answer to that question? How long do we spend reading God's word? How long do we spend in prayer? How long do we sit with the Lord in his presence? We truly fool ourselves if we think that we can grow in Christ's likeness without growing in our knowledge of him. Paul tells the Colossians that he is praying that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is calling the Colossians, and of course all Christians at all times, to persistence, to thoroughness in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not enough that we have a little or even some knowledge of Christ and of the Bible. Paul is saying, I want you to be filled with it. Filled with it. It's not enough that we understand a few Christian doctrines. Paul prayed that we should have a comprehensive knowledge of God's will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now that's a big ask. It's a horrendous ask in a way. What? This book, have you ever tried to read it completely through from cover to cover as quickly as possible? Whoa. Have you tried to understand it all? There are depths here that no man will get to the bottom of. And yet, here it is. As I said to the children, they can open the Bible. They can understand the fundamentals. They can read God's word and grow. We all can. And we don't stop. We must work at it, friends. We can't just sit back and say, I've got there. You haven't. We must work at it. We must continue to read Scripture, to grow and be more Christ-like. And keep in mind that Paul does not want us to have knowledge for knowledge's sake. Paul understands perfectly well that right thinking leads to right living. Knowledge of God, the knowledge that Paul wants for us, is intended, what? To transform us. We should be a transformed people. We should be a transforming people. Wisdom is love abounding in knowledge. Wisdom is using knowledge to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. If we allow knowledge to transform us, Paul writes that it will help us to please the Lord in all respects. Colossians 1:10. Now, if we are serious about our determination to glorify God, we will not neglect our study of His character. We will not. We dare not. If we are serious about our desire to please God, we will not be lax in our study of His holy will. One preacher so aptly put it like this: tell me that you want to love Jesus more. Tell me that you want to be more like Jesus, and I will tell you to take up your Bible and read. I will tell you to gather with other Christians to study God's Word. Friends, if we get off track on this one, if we do not read our Bibles, if we do not fellowship with God, if we do not fellowship together, how can we understand God's will for us? We will not walk in a manner worthy of Him. And if we do not walk in a manner worthy of Him, of course, we will displease Him. If you are to follow your Saviour Jesus Christ rightly, you must be prepared and you must be directed correctly through His Word. Of course you must. Such preparation, well, it begins here. First day of the week. Of course it does. On Sunday, the Lord's Day, the Scriptures, they are prayed, they are read, they are preached, they are sung. Being prepared and directed by God's Word begins here. It must not end here. That's the point. You can't, as it were, attend the church, tick the box, and go. No. It's personal relationship with God. Age is no barrier for these little ones. They have to have a personal relationship. It's no good by thinking, oh, I've had a personal relationship with the Lord for 50, 60 years. I'll just sit back now. No, keep on, keeping on. We need to be prepared and directed by God's Word. The world, you see, is a battlefield for us. Of course it is. Life is too frantic, too challenging, and at times too painful to go forward without being prepared, directed, shielded, and encouraged by the Word of God. Christian brother and sister, you and I live in a very hostile environment where we must daily put on the full armour of God. We have to do this. We must do this. I urge you to be in a close and personal relationship with God. Be more personal. Be in a closer relationship with God than you have been yesterday. May that grow. Read your Bible. Pray. Do you know what? Sit in His presence. Out of your busy time, and I know we all have busy lives, and some more than others, but make a time when you just sit in His presence. You've read His Word. You've prayed with Him. Sit in His presence. And if anyone is sitting here this morning without Christ as your Saviour, and you're looking at the state of this fallen world and you're thinking, oh dear, what's happening? Where are we heading here? Then I would sincerely encourage you to ask Jesus Christ into your life. Ask Him. You don't have to have a degree in theology to ask Jesus Christ into your life. You just sincerely ask. You ask him to be your saviour. He'll not turn you down. This is not some sort of, oh, I'll ask and see what happens. No, if you sincerely ask him, he will come into your life. He will fill your life. He will change your life. And if you do ask him, and maybe somebody here this morning will ask, then this prayer of Paul, this text that we've been looking at, it applies to you as well as all of us who have asked. Christian brother and sister, may your soul be nourished and your love for Christ be richly increased to his glory. I want to just read to you from Hosea chapter 6, the first three verses. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. We have a great and awesome God. We have a wonderful Saviour. Let us grow in our knowledge of him, and let us grow in our Christ likeness of him. It's what the world needs to see, Christ in us. Amen.